Well, good afternoon, good evening. I'm very happy to be here tonight, and I hope you are too. It's a beautiful evening, one in which it'd be good to go out and to praise God and to worship Him and read about and learn about His Word. Tonight I have a very simple message and probably a very short message, but one that is easy, hopefully easy to be understood, and one which we can apply and help ourselves with very often in our life. Now, I work with teenagers, and in case you didn't know about teenagers, they have a tendency to not follow through with things. Now, I have found that to be catching, because I tend to do that occasionally. Now, I'll start something and I'll not finish it, or I'll start something and I'll lose, I don't want to say interest, but I'll lose the zeal that I had when I began that work. And sometimes it happens to all of us, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure I'm fairly normal, and I think that that's probably true of about all of us. So this evening I wanted to look at perseverance. And that's kind of, those of you who were in Tennessee, that's something we talked about quite often, was perseverance and continuance and patience. And so tonight I looked at Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" So it's a very simple message, very simple. We've heard this over and over again, I'm sure, in our lives in the church, how that we should ask, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. You know, I've known people in my life, and it comes to prayer, it seems like their prayers get answered more than mine. Have you ever met somebody like that? They'll talk to you about their prayer life, and they'll tell you what the Lord has done for them. And there's been times in my life I was like, well, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And then, you know, other people, it seems like they have a vast understanding of the Bible. It seems like that no matter what question you ask them, they can answer. It seems like they know chapter and verse of all the verses. And I can't remember chapters and verses. I'll be real honest with you. I cannot remember numbers like that. But I've heard people, and it just astounds me. I think, why do they know so much about the Word of God? And then I've known other people, and they'll talk about the people that they brought to Christ. And I have to ask myself, you know, what do other people do different? Are they just blessed? Are they just smarter than me? Are they more intelligent? What is it about it? Why is it? Is it skill? Is it luck? What is it? And I found a quotation. I've never quoted this guy before, but I didn't think I ever would. It's Calvin Coolidge. Now, I don't really know that much about Calvin Coolidge, but I found this quotation about his, and it really applies to what Jesus is saying here. He says, "Press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of perseverance. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts." And that, there's so much true about that. I've known people that were just as smart. They were way more intelligent than I was, and they hadn't done anything. I've known people who had far more education than I do, still do today, and they don't even have a job. They don't particularly want a job. You know, it's not something that guarantees anything. And I look at so many people going to college, and I don't want to discourage anybody in college, but you know, college education doesn't guarantee you a job. You still have to work. You still have to make connections. You still have to ask. You know, a degree actually won't do anything but hang on a wall if that's all you do with it. So Calvin Coolidge was right. Perseverance is what we need. And Jesus was trying to teach that to his disciples here on the Sermon on the Mount and to us today. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. These are all, if you look at these in the Greek, they're all present tense verbs. Now, if you're like me, you've been out of school a while, present tense means something that is occurring at that moment. So what Jesus is saying is, continue asking. Continue seeking. Continue knocking. These are not things that you've done and so you sit down. These are things that you do. These are things you're involved with right now. In other words, he's saying, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't ever be satisfied as a Christian. Don't ever be satisfied and say, well, I've done enough, or well, I've asked all I need to ask, or I've learned all I need to learn. Don't get that attitude. You keep on. It's an idea of perseverance. It's the idea of holding fast to the end. It's the idea of working until the evening comes. And the evening will come. And it will come quickly. So the thing to do is to work while it is day. You know, I had my youngest now is getting pretty big, actually. You guys know Fred. And I don't have any little ones in the house. Got a little grandbaby running around. One due here in a couple of weeks. When I was first coming to be a parent, I said to myself, I was not going to give in to the kids. You know, you've seen that. You see that in grocery stores especially. You know, kid wants a Snickers bar. And mom says, no. And they say, but I want a Snickers. You know, but I want it. And then they start crying. And then they start yelling. And then they start falling on the floor and kicking. And mom buys them a Snickers bar. And I said, I was never going to do that. And I didn't. I didn't do that. But when my kids would ask for something that I really didn't care that much about either way, sometimes I would forget. I would intend fully to do it. You know, like, Dad, can we stop at so-and-so on the way home? And I'd say, well, I don't care. Whatever. We'll see. And then I'd forget about it. Well, if they'd ask me again, Dad, can we stop at so-and-so? You know, in a judicious amount of time, I'm talking about. They'd ask again, then I'd stop. Because I really didn't care to start with. And so we find ourselves doing that. A lot of times, it's not that we don't want to do something. It's the fact we forget. And so, and I'm not saying God forgets. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is there is a blessing and a reason to be more active in what we're asking. Sometimes the time wasn't right. So you ask again. You continue to ask. When I was a teenager, I used to mow our yard. My dad paid me $5 a week to keep our yard looking like a state park. That was his thing. And he's excited. He doesn't understand. We had 5 acres of grass. And a lawnmower that didn't run all the time. And so I would get out there and I'd mow the banks and I'd mow with the when the tractor was working. We didn't have them big zero turns back then. You know, you had a little 20-some-inch tractor. And so we had this one field out in front of the house. It's my front yard now. Went out there one evening and it was getting on towards dark and I had sunglasses on. And it was getting darker and darker and darker. And I took my sunglasses off. I either put them in my pocket or laid them on the tractor or something. And, you know, there you go, and you're mowing, and you're mowing, and you're mowing, and it gets dark, and I go in, and I pull in the garage, and I'm like, where are my sunglasses? Oh, no. I've dropped them. Where did I have them last? Well, I had them when I crossed the road to mow that field, and that's the last I remember. So, I told Mom and Dad, I said, I've dropped my glasses. Well, you can look for them later. Well, now I probably won't. If I don't look for them now, I probably won't. I said, so I got a flashlight and I went out to the field. Oh, you'll never find them. You'll never find them. You know what I did? Back in them days, you know, you took the tractor and you go down and you turn around and you come back. So I went out there with my flashlight and I walked that field. And I got to the end and I turned around. I moved over about 20 inches and I walked back. And I did that until, guess what? About the middle of that field, I found sunglasses. There they lay. And all the while I was doing that, I was saying, Lord said if I'd seek, I'd find. And so I was seeking. And have you ever been outside after services somewhere and a lady will lose an earring or something? Or a ring. I've seen loose rings. And everybody be like, oh no. And we'll go to looking. It's not the person that's standing telling her, oh, it'll be all right, that finds the ring. It's not the kid running around in circles. It's usually somebody that's squatted down and they're very carefully looking. They're the ones that find it. The Lord is telling us there is a method to this. You have to apply yourself to something to receive a blessing back. And when it comes to knocking, me and my father-in-law sitting back there, Brother Bill, he came down to visit us this weekend. I think not me, he had something else to do. I just happened to be here. Me and him used to go to a lot of auctions and things, and we used to like to go, and we didn't really need anything. We didn't buy a whole lot sometimes. Sometimes you buy a truckload for a dollar, you know, that kind of thing. We was coming back from an auction one time, and we come across this group of log cabins. They looked like they were from the turn of the century, maybe, or maybe earlier, maybe the 1800s. And there was about 8 or 10 of them in this field. And so I said, I'd like to see them. And he's like, well, I kind of would too, you know. And we looked around and we finally decided we just stopped. So we stopped at the first house and we went and knocked on the door. You don't know who owns them, do you? Well, yeah, it's so-and-so and he lives up. And they told us how to get there. So we got back in the truck and we went up where the guy lived and knocked on the door again. Hey, we saw these cabins down here. Want to know if we could look at them. The guy was eating lunch or something. I mean, he was busy. He said, give me 5 minutes. And sure enough, he loaded it up, led us back down there, and just opened them all up, let us look at them. We talked to him a while and had a good little visitor. That would have never happened had we never knocked. You ever go up to a house and just stand at the door and wish they'd answer? No. That's not how it works. You know. And I've got a renter. And I will tell you sometimes you have to keep knocking to get them to come to the door. Keep knocking. And that's all Jesus is saying. He's saying, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And it goes from one level to the next. It's one thing to ask. It includes a little bit more effort to actually engage yourself and seek. And it takes a little more effort to go that extra mile and maybe even ask for help. And that's what he's saying. Ask, seek, knock. That is the perseverance that he gives us for prayer. I want to turn to some very familiar passages about prayer. If you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Talk about prayer. People have their prayers answered. What did Jesus say exactly about prayer? Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 5. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. What is he saying here? He said, look, he's not going to get out of bed because he's your friend. He's going to get out of bed because you're bothering him. That's what importunity means. It is an impudence. It is bothering. It's like, hey, buddy, I need some bread. Buddy's coming. He's coming. I don't have anything to feed him. Give me some loaves. No, go away. I'm in bed. Come on, buddy. I need some loaves. He won't get up because he's his friend. He'll get up, get him, quit knocking. That's exactly why he'll get up. And the Lord is telling us, you know, that's far-fetched and that's a little wild, but he's telling us we need to apply the same principle to prayer. And one of the brothers up at Mont Eagle spoke about this too, and I really have thought about this a lot. When I say I pray to God, do I really pray to God? Do I say, you know, Lord, I got a pain in my stomach. Could you help me out? And then never prayed again, and yet sit there and wait. How long do we, you know, Jesus prayed all night on his knees to his Father. I still got to know. Okay? But when we want something, how badly do we want it? You know, if a kid is like that, if a kid asks you something and you're not too sure they even really want it, you might not even respond the first time. You'll wait and see if they ask you again. Do we ever do that with God? We go to him and something, we pray, and then we're done. And we're just going to sit back and wait. Ask him again. Keep asking until you get an answer. Yes or no. Keep asking. Keep praying. Pray with diligence. Don't just say, well, I prayed and I'm done now. No. No, we need to talk to him. We need to ask him. We need to bother him a little if necessary. Turn to Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not faint, saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He said, look, guys, he said, listen to what the judge said. I don't regard man. I don't care about man. I don't care about God. He had no one above him. Okay? In his mind, he was the top of the hill. Okay? And this little widow woman that could do nothing for him, had nothing to give him, kept coming to him. And he says, you know, she is going to worry me to death. I'm going to venture just to shut her up. And so he says, now what about God? Do you think that God now, you're his elect, you're his children. He said he would help you. He said, pray to me. He said, ask. And we go to him. He said, how much more do you think God will answer if you cry unto him day and night? He said, I'm going to tell you, he'll do it quickly. But will I find faith when I come on there? And that verse has haunted me for years. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on earth? And I think about what God has done for us. Sent his Son to die for us. Give us a way that we can escape sin. Give us a way that we can have a good life here. Because everything God has asked us to do will actually make our life better here. And so he give us all these things. He said, if you need something, ask, man, I'll give it to you. And he doesn't make us ask 50 million times. He answers prayer. If his elect needs something, he supplies it. And Jesus said, even given all that, he said, when I come back, I don't know if I'm going to find faith. And look around you. Will he find it when he comes back? When Jesus comes back, will he find faith? Even though God said in the ruler of heaven and earth, the God of all creation, is saying, pray to me. Makes you wonder sometimes, doesn't it? But that's another issue altogether. Now there's the matter of people knowing more than us in the scriptures. It seems like they're wise. It seems like they know so much about the Bible. You know how you get to know a lot about the Bible? I think Brother Harry could probably, he knows quite a bit about the Bible. He could probably give you an answer after church, and I think it would probably be the same one that I would give you. You have to read the Bible. You have to study it. You have to pray about it. That's the only way. It would be really cool if we could just like drink a glass of something and just know all about the Bible. Or take some, you know, 30-minute class twice a week for 6 weeks and know all about the Bible. But that's not how it works. People understand the Bible because they have read the Bible. And read it, and read it, and read it. And you know, some people can't read very well. And I understand that. I know people that cannot read that well. Do you know they have tapes and CDs and all kinds of things? You can listen to them on an iPod. You can listen to it on a cassette player. You can listen to it on a DVD player. You can listen to it on your computer. You can watch it on TV. There's a way to get the word into your heart. If you are willing to ask, seek, and knock, you will find a way to get it into your heart, to get to where you know more. People don't know a whole bunch about the Word of God just because God just laid it on them one day. They know more about it because they have studied, because they have searched, because they have asked and seeked and knocked. Psalm chapter 1, beginning verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Blessed is the man that meditates on the word of God. Meditates, studies about it. I know people, they tell me, oh, I can't study the word of God. I can't get anything out of it. I can't remember a verse. I heard people say, well, there's no way I can memorize a verse. And then they will sit down and they will recite to you word for word every line of dialogue from a movie they've watched. I tell you, it is not a lack of intelligence. It is a lack of wanting to. It's really bad with kids, but it's the same way with adults. I've had adults that can tell me stuff, tell me details of things that they looked at one time, but they couldn't tell me anything about the Bible. They didn't meditate in it. Didn't want to. That's what it amounts to. It's where is your heart? And that's what David is saying. Man who loves God, who wants a part of that, will meditate in that day and night. Day and night. We run the TV day and night, don't we? Some of us do. I got satellite TV where I live because it was cheap. So I got satellite, and it's got a timer on it. After I think about 3 hours, it says, do you want to continue to watch this show? Because it thinks you're not there. And you have to find the remote because it says yes or cancel, no, I want to continue. To say cancel, no, I have to continue, you have to have the remote. So I can't tell you how many Saturday mornings that I've been sitting around there watching TV and doing something or working on something or playing with something, and that thing will pop up on the screen. And I'll be like, well, honey, where's the remote? I got to hit the remote. But then it dawns on me, you know what that means? That means that I haven't touched that. I haven't changed the channel. I haven't done anything with volume. I haven't messed with that thing for 3 or 4 hours. But yet it's set there. Yeah, we'll do stuff like that for hours on end, won't we? What about studying the Bible? What about studying the Bible? Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Perseverance. And then on finally to the matter of evangelism. You say, well, I can't talk to anybody about Jesus. Well, not if you don't do it. Have you ever known anybody that say, well, I invited them to church. When? 1984. So you invited them to church 29 years ago. And what about perseverance? You know, people change their minds. I can tell you, and believe it or not, I am kind of bashful. And I know that's hard to believe. I put on a really good show. I'm getting better. But I am extremely bashful. That's why I cut up so much, because it's just, you don't have to know me if I'm kidding you about something. So, when it comes to things, sometimes I'll say I'll go to somebody's house and they'll say, you want something to drink? No, I'm all right. And then half hour, hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours go by, I start getting thirsty and I'd like to have something to drink. Very seldom will I ask. I just won't ask. But now if they ask me, I say, yeah. Yeah. Because sometimes you want something, but you just really don't want to ask. You're a little shy, a little bashful, a little backward, whatever it is. Some people are like that, maybe with the assembly. You ask them to go to church? Nah, it's all right. Well, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, you ask them, you want to go to church? Well, nah, probably not. And then in the back of their mind, they're thinking, well, if they ask me one more time, I'm going to go. I've seen it. If they'd ask me one more time, I'd go with them. But then 29 years go by. Nobody asked me. We need to understand we have to sow the seed. And you don't have to be all in your face, you know, dogmatic about it. You can just mention it to people. You can just encourage people. Like you would want to be encouraged. Like you would want somebody to treat you. That's the next scripture. I stopped there before we read that in Matthew 7. That's the next scripture. How would you want to be treated? So there's a motive to it. God is going to help us. God delights in it. He said, you give good gifts to your children. How much more do you think God would give good gifts to those that ask Him? Really? Don't you think? Don't you think God would be a little bit better than we are about things? In John chapter 15 and verse 7. John chapter 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You understand what Jesus said? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You realize why that is? Now, there's other scriptures that talk about James chapter 4 and verse 3 talks about if it's God's will, and if it's not for individual lust kind of things. But understand what he's saying here. If you live in me and you have my word in you, if you have the word of God, you're not going to ask for something that's outside of God's will. And that's why Jesus makes this flat statement. He said, if you are abiding in me and your word, my word is abiding in you, you'll ask what you will. And the Lord will grant it. You understand that power? That's what he's telling us. Ask. Ask. Seek. Look for it. Knock. Ask again. We have a Father in heaven who is not untouched when we go to him over and over again. He cannot turn a deaf ear to us and just say, oh, la, la, la. He's not going to do that. If we're walking in Christ, if we're abiding in Christ, and his word is in us, and we are following after him, God will answer prayer. We will understand the scriptures. They will open up to you. If you study them, and you look at them, and you read them, and you pray about them, God will get his word in you. And as far as other people, helping other people, bringing other people to church, helping other people come to Christ, that will happen as a natural outgrowth of that. Because your life will be such that you will be Jesus to them. You know, if I'm acting like a complete fool, and then I say, hey, you want to go to church with me? No. That's going to be the standard answer. Because, you know, if this guy's dragging around and he's got his head in the dirt and he feels bad all the time and he don't want to do nothing and he's not happy, why would I want to go to church there? What possible reason could they have? But when they see Christ in you and they see a joy in your heart, that even when you have problems, you still have a joy in your heart. Even when you have troubles come on you and you're still humming. You're still whistling a little. You still got a spring in your step. Because you know God loves you. And you know you talked to him about it this morning. And you're going to talk to him about it again at lunch. And you're going to talk to him about it again when you get ready to go to bed. They will be drawn to Christ. Calvin Coolidge was right. It's not about intelligence. It's not about talent. It's not about education. It's about perseverance. Perseverance. I'll leave the lesson with you. If there's any here this evening that needs the help of the church in any way, if there's anything we can do, because sometimes you don't, and I heard Brother Sam Dick say this one time, sometimes you just don't feel like you can pray and God will hear you. Well, I've been there. And the answer to that is you have other people pray with you. So if there's anybody that needs the help of the church, prayers of the church, anything you need that we can help you with this evening as a church, would you come forward, make it known while we stand and sing.